Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. I'm here to announce we're halfway there. And you may be wondering, Jeffrey, what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is I in the wake of all the school board stuff and how everyone feels so bad about Memphis and Shelby County schools and whatever else, I happened to stumble on a story. The truth of the matter is that a professor at the University of Memphis, Michael Schultz, he's a saxophone professor, he told me months ago about this band conductor at Central and what a miracle worker he is. Just pours himself into creating this band program that is one of the best in the city, one of the best in the state, and as you'll find out here in a minute, one of the best in the country. And honestly, I wrote, the band director's name is Ollie Liddell, and I wrote him. And I got permission to talk to him, and then he disappeared. Like I couldn't get in touch with him. Honestly, it's because he's overwhelmed. Like he has a band program. 80 people were in it when he started. Now it's up to 183. He has a marching band. He has a percussion ensemble. He's got a wind ensemble. He's got and then he's got this jazz band. I'm missing some. And it's a just tremendous program. I went in there the other day, and it was afternoon, and there were kids everywhere. And he said, you know, a lot of these kids don't have a place to practice, even if they have an instrument that they could bring home. They live in apartments or where they want. They can't really. And so he said, I stay here just so they have a place to practice. Anyway, because I finally did get in touch with him, and I got in touch with him in the wake of the news that the jazz band, the Central High School Jazz Band, had been selected to participate in the Essential Ellington Contest, which is literally jazz bands from across the world compete to go to Lincoln Center, and then that's sort of the finals. It's the Sweet 16 is the way that it was described to me. It's the second weekend. And only 30 from across the world get chosen. And Central High Band Jazz Band was one of the ones that was chosen. They actually, only one other band from the whole state of Tennessee has ever made this contest. It was once. Fog Hume in Nashville made it once. Central made it in 20 and 21. Both times, COVID turned it into virtual, so they couldn't go to New York. And here's the thing. Ollie Liddell, who was this... He's a tremendous jazz musician himself, a trombonist, and has poured himself. He's never been to New York. He actually told me he'd been to Buffalo, and I did tell him that doesn't count. Like, I'm from Buffalo. That doesn't count. The guy's never been to New York. And here's his band, and they announced that who's going to make the finals, who's going to make it to this contest on live stream. And they couldn't get the technology to work to put it up on their board or whatever at Central. And so they're all crowding around one little cell phone. And the when they hear their name, their explosion of joy. But my favorite part is after you see the kids, you know, dancing and cheering and whatever, it cuts over to the video, over to Ollie Liddell. He's 48, and he's wiping tears. He's wiping tears away. And I know there's lots of problems with the school system, but miracles like that, good stuff like that, people who pour themselves into the kids that we say it's all about, like that is happening, maybe not at this extraordinary level, but versions of that are happening in schools all over the city. And so I thought I'd write about it today. And it so happens that you can read the column over at the Daily Memphian. It's just such a, it's wonderful to be able to write about something joyous and hopeful and real, honestly. That's the other thing. If this isn't bureaucratic infighting, this is what education looks like. And by the way, Ollie was a guy whose dad was a band director. And his dad told him, do you ever want to make money? And Ollie said, yeah. And he said, well, don't major in music. And so he was going to be a chemistry major. He went to Jackson State. He was going to be a chemistry major. He was a chemistry major. But that he also did, he was a music minor. And he arranged a piece to be played here in Memphis at a high school that was not Central. And he came up to teach the kids that one arrangement for the, and he realized he just had to do this for his life. And so he said, screw it. I won't make money. You know, I'm not going to make any money. Anyway, so they're going to Lincoln Center. And if you look at the other schools that have made it, they're from bigger, richer cities. A lot of them are from, you know, dedicated arts high schools or from, you know, really expensive private high schools. And here is this underfunded program at Central. And they're going. They need 30 grand to go. And I don't do this very often, but I did include the GoFundMe just because you couldn't do it every day. You know, I can't foist GoFundMes on people every day. But I did say, particularly in the wake of this school board stuff where people feel like it's all helpless, here's something we could do. You know, we can send the Central High School Jazz Band to New York. And so the column's up, and I've also tweeted out the GoFundMe if you're so inclined. And they needed $30,000, and I just checked, and it's up to $15,345. It started at, I think, $2,000 this morning. And so far we've raised, in response to all of this, raised $13,000, but I'm hoping that we can get to 30 and send them to New York in style, which has nothing to do with sports, but it gladdened my heart in the wake of everything that has been happening. Today on the radio show, Jeffrey, it's Thursday already. Don't know how that happened. But
we had a holiday on Monday.
That's true. That does mean that is time for Writer Than Write Trivia. Actually, the way it's going to work today on the show, it's going to be me and Jeffrey for the first hour, and then Chris Harrington is going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. He was at the Grizzlies game last night, wrote about it for the Daily Memphian. You can read his piece, wildly entertaining piece, honestly. It was sort of an interesting game, interesting night. You can read it over at the Daily Memphian. And then we're going to play Writer Than Write Trivia. And Jeffrey, what if someone is, let's be honest, I don't like their chances of beating you, but things happen. You know, look at the Commanders.
Sure.
You know, who expected that? Who expected that?
Jaden Daniels.
And so maybe Jaden Daniels will call in and lead an upset. Someone could defeat you, in which case they would be righter than right, and they would win the prize. Or they could just manage muster to play honorably. They would also win the prize. What is the prize today, Jeffrey?
Jeff, you can win them before you can buy them. Two tickets to see Cake. It's at Bank Plus Amphitheater, April 18th. Tickets go on sale Friday, but you can win them before you can buy them right here on Writer Than Write Trivia.
Cake at Bank Plus Amphitheater. Amphitheater. So there you go. That will be in the second hour. And so that is the show today. Jeffrey, you know what? Let's just fire up the highlights from last night's Grizzlies extravaganza. So Jeffrey asked me, texted me, he said, are we going to play highlights today? And so it raises the question, how do you feel about a route? And again, it was a route that got too close, not too close, that became less routish in the second half.
Yeah.
But the Grizzlies.
If you were sitting there with Grizzlies, I saw some people had Grizzlies minus 12 and a half. Like, I want to hug you. I'm sorry.
Grizz were up 78 to 48 at the half. How do you feel about routes? I mean, are routes as much fun? Are they their own kind of fun? How was the first half for you yesterday?
I like a nice midweek route because especially, you know, if you're someone that wants to maybe like, all right, we came down on a Thursday, but we still got work tomorrow. Like, you can,
I'll be honest,
you can shamelessly check out.
This is just sort of sad. I'm going to confess something. I only watched the first half, and it seems like I made the better choice, yep. Right? I enjoy a route. Like some people say, oh, where's the suspense? I like a no stress watching my team crush the other dudes.
Yeah, the two things Jeff likes watching is
sports. Preseason sports, love preseason. Jeffrey nailed it. Preseason sports, that's stress free. And absolute
and blowouts.
Obliterations, also wonderful. And this was certainly that in the first half. Let's just let's play. We have 6 highlights here that are. We'll see if people can detect the theme.
He missed the 2-foot floater. Rebound tapped by Clark. Out to Aldama. Aldama for Bane on the trail. Bane to Kennard. Rhythm left wing 3. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board.
Just good ball movement that time. Get the rebound, Eric. Push in transition and find the best shooter.
Peels to the right side. Now down to 10 on the shot clock. Out to Aldama with Curry on him. Aldama to the top of the key for a cutting Pippen. Pippen to the corner for Bane. Bane with 3 on the shot clock. Out to Kennard. Steps right. Fires the 3 as Diabate flies by. He watches it crack the cords. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board for Kennard. Great hustle by the Grizzlies. Kennard inbounds for Edie. Gets it back. Left corner 3 is good. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Kennard using that Edie screen to perfection. 9 straight for the Grizz. They lead 43-25. And we're going to get an offensive foul called on LaMelo Ball. Kennard checks into the ball game. He gets it from Clark. Kennard, a left sideline 3 behind the Clark screen, is good. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board for Luke Kennard, who's 4 of 6 beyond the arc in the first half. And he's got 12 points. Second Grizzly in double figures. 4:40 left in the half. 61-36 Grizz. 22-point Grizzly lead. Kennard, pump fake, steps right, fires another 3. Same result. 5 triples for Luke Kennard. Ring it up. Put 3 more on the board. 64-39.
Love to see Luke Kennard knocking down shots. I mean, that just puts so much pressure on the defense when he's knocking down those shots, and his confidence is high.
Instead of setting it, Morant kicks to the corner left for Kennard. 3 on the way.
Oh, what a
give
pass.
Him 6 in the quarter. Luke Kennard, ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Excuse me, in the half. 18 for Kennard, the assist to Morant. 78-48, Bridges at the horn, no good. And it is all Grizz tonight.
Jeffrey, you're an alert guy. You're a smart guy. You're an observant guy. Were you able to detect a theme?
Jeff, I believe the theme was Luke Kennard 3-point
night. That's exactly right. Luke Kennard had, as Eric just told you, had 18 in the first half. Finished with 23. And we'll get more Luke Kennard here in a bit. So there it was, 78-48 at the half. Charlotte, absolutely terrible team. And it was interesting because in addition to everything else, you had LaMelo Ball was just so frustrated by Jalen Wells chasing him everywhere. He did, in the end, end up with 22 points. On 20 shots.
Mm-hmm. Efficient.
So it was not particularly efficient. I'll tell you who was efficient. Ja took only 9 shots. Ja was 5 of 9. A nice, calm 16 and 13. Listen, this one was absolutely never in doubt. The Grizzlies did what they do, which is beat teams in the East. They are 14-3 against the East. 2 of those losses, of course, to Brooklyn. And let's be honest, this was the problem. We identified it very early, Jeffrey. The problem with getting Brooklyn early was they hadn't gone into full tank mode
right yet.
They're horrible now. You got Brooklyn when they were peskier, when they still, the season's new, let's win some games, right? Let's, whatever.
Absolutely.
And now they've
started, and they hadn't made trades.
And they had to disgorge players, whatever else. So, yeah, they are 14-3 against the East. Of course, the Grizzlies on this run of you got the Pelicans next, and then you have the Jazz. So there's been a little bit of a breather. It's interesting, though, Jeffrey, because then the second half happens. Memphis Tigers played a team from Charlotte, went up big, let the other team get back into it at the end. So it didn't look as bad. Memphis Grizzlies play a team from Charlotte, go up big, let the team get kind of back into it at the end. So it didn't look as bad. It's not just symmetry. It's what I've been saying all along. People want to pound the Tigers for not crushing teams. And honestly, there are teams that do that. If you look at what Houston did last night,
they held a team under 40 points.
Yeah, so there are teams that will go out and just put that. Most teams, like most of us, act in a way that is consistent with human nature. And that is when you go up 78-48 at the half, it's kind of natural to take the pedal off. Now, Taylor Jenkins was irritated by it. Ja Morant was irritated by it. It was not, according to Chris, and we'll talk to him straight up at 10 o'clock, it was not an exultant locker room. They were sort of fed up with themselves, not unlike the way that the Memphis Tigers sometimes get fed up with themselves. But what is happening is what you actually might expect to happen because these people are human beings. Full confession, didn't watch the second half. I missed. We're going to interrupt the Luke Kennard extravaganza with a little Jay Huff extravaganza. Let's roll those.
91-64. Huff, a rhythm, left wing three in transition. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Grizzlies come right back after the alley-oop and push the lead right back to 30.
And I love Huff comes into basketball game. He's always ready, Eric. And so that's what you need coming off your bench, whether you play big minutes or not.
Be a pro. Morant drops it behind him to Huff. Huff, a straightaway three. Got another one. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jay Huff buries the triple, and the Hornets will take a timeout. Jay Huff in the game for a minute. He's got 6 points. That is impressive performance. Bane on the right side. Gives right corner for Pippen. Pippen into the corner for Huff. Open three on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jay Huff in double figures with 11.
Just good patience that time offensively. Great baseline pass by Scottie Pippen Jr. Good spacing.
Pippen working with a right-hand dribble. Kicks right corner Bane. Left-hand dribble into the paint. Drops underneath Huff. And a reverse jam. Huff never turned and looked at the basket. Used the 7-foot, 2-inch frame. And just dunks it home. He's got 13 points in officially 3 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Socks. 3 minutes.
Unbelievable.
He scored 13 points.
Yeah, there's your efficiency. Actually turned out, the final number was 13 points in 7 minutes. 5 of 8 from the field. 3 of 6 from three. He had his dunks. He did. What is Jay Huff? Just fun? Jay Huff is, you don't care if he plays a minute in the postseason, do you?
No. But yeah,
he's a useful guy to have.
Yeah.
He injects energy, fun.
Yeah.
In the regular season, I suppose. He'll get minutes in the postseason.
Their games are different, but I view him the same way that I viewed Xavier Tillman. If he has to go in the game, he can be useful. I don't want him being, a
game's
primary player.
game's obviously very different.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Then we had a moment of history. Back to Luke Kennard. We had a moment of history. This happened.
In the second, he's got 8 points. Now he steals the pass. Kennard going to go length of the floor and jam with two hands. Little two-hand jam for Luke Kennard, and he looks right at the Grizzly bench, and they're having some fun with that.
Yeah, I love that. Most guys have probably never seen him dunk.
5 years! He said it had been 5 years since he last dunked. Ja, of course, doesn't dunk anymore, or at least ostensibly. Not dunks that count. Only when he has to count. Over monsters.
Or when he has to. Against Boston.
He said, according to the piece by Chris Harrington, I passed my crown over to Luke Kennard, and there was joking about how he's going to be waiting for his all-star summons to appear in the dunk contest. All-star game, by the way, all-star starters will be unveiled tonight. Let's give the people one more Kennard three and wrap this sucker up.
Jackson on the right side. Double team comes. Jackson feeds for Wells. Wells to Kennard. Left sideline three. That one's good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Luke Kennard with seven triples.
So there you go. Grizz win. Grizz win. Grizz win. You want to consult the standings, Jeffrey? Houston got off the. Houston got away with one.
Let him off the hook.
Absolutely, let him off the hook. Darius Garland with a chance to tie three foul shots.
Always knew he hated the Grizzlies.
Only hits one of them, and the guy is a dead-eye foul shooter. So Houston remains. Oklahoma City really has created. Oklahoma City is seven up on Houston. Houston is then a half game up on the Grizzlies. That would have done it last night. But then look behind you, Jeffrey. Denver's just a game and a half back. And then there's a little, you know, a little cushion there because the Lakers and Clippers are another three back of Denver. So they are four and a half past the Grizzlies. Barring disaster, the Grizzlies are going to begin the playoffs with a home playoff series, right?
Yep, top four seed.
I think that's right. Because Denver has done what it's done lately, I think like Denver's 8-2 in their last 10.
Yep.
Right? And the Grizzlies, since they've started playing better teams, are still doing fine. But they're not 8-2. You know, like, and so I think, wouldn't you, if I were to give you $1,000, if you were to tell me, pick the exact seed the Grizzlies would have, it would be the four seed, wouldn't it?
Yep. I think you asked me this earlier this week, and I said,
it'd be the four seed.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, nice win. They took care of business. They did what they had to do. And, of course, tonight the Memphis Tigers will be faced with the same task. Separation week, Jeffrey. It's separation week.
Of course.
And they play Wichita State. I got my annual call to appear on radio in Wichita. I'm big in Wichita.
Yep.
And so I'm going to be doing that today. What's your level of confidence in the Tigers tonight?
8.5. Wichita, Penny's had a good record against Wichita. I also think part of that is like Wichita State's a program that even though they're not what they used to be, like there's still some respect.
That's
there.
Interesting. They still have.
They have a little cachet, even though they undeserve it.
Yes. It does not. They do not merit it right now. They're 158 in the net. They're 146 KenPom. They've lost 6 of 9. They just lost at home to ECU. Wichita State is not the Wichita State that went to the Final Four, right? That is not.
At all.
At all. At all. But they are still Wichita State. Right. There's got a little gleam to the name, right? Got a little gleam to the name. You got Colby Rogers playing his old team. And so, and John mentioned this yesterday, I think they will be motivated. They're home. I think they will be motivated to take care of business. I don't have a lot of concern about this one. I do have some concern about UAB, which is the next one on the schedule. But if you look at it, now, if there's reasons for concern, it would just be they're not good at forcing turnovers. Memphis obviously has been a point of emphasis to deal with the turnovers this week, but that's not a strength of Wichita State. They do have some dudes who can hurt you rebounding. And so that could be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, they're 210th in offensive rebounding percentage.
In offensive rebounding, they are not. But they are tied for 58th overall in rebounding, I think. Whatever.
Okay, Stretcher Armstrong.
Quincy Ballard, 6'11 center, averages 8.4 rebounds a game. Corey Washington, he's sort of an undersized power forward, 7.7 rebounds a game. I'm just looking. I'm wary. I'm ever alert.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about this one.
I applaud you. I understand it's AFC Championship week. You are just
nervous.
Looking for,
I'm on pins and needles.
You're looking for every reason that every team is going to lose.
Yes.
Except for the Chiefs.
All right. And Ole Miss did.
They did. What did you make of that one? You know, sometimes basketball in sports can just kind of be simple. You're just probably not going to win a lot of games where you shoot 37% from the floor and you get out-rebounded by 18. And down the stretch, they did not get the ball in bounds, and they had a 10-second call. They just didn't make the plays down the stretch that you got to beat a top 25 team in A&M. That's a tough one, though. The math, I think even Buzz Williams said it after the game, like, the math really wasn't in our favor.
The math, the like things points, that you just rattled.
Right, like, they needed, like, basically, if Ole Miss just gets the ball across half court, they were probably going to win the game. They couldn't do that, and then they only shoot 4 free throws, but the only miss of the night was the front of a 1-1, and that allows a 30% three-point.
That was what was striking about that game. It was unbelievably physical.
Yeah.
They just let them hammer each other. Ole Miss shot 4 free throws,
yeah.
3 free throws, easy for me to say, on the night, and I'm only at 9.
Yep. I mean, it was one of those situations where the officiating and the letting them play was kind of part of the reason why Ole Miss was able to build the lead, because they were able to be so physical on the perimeter. Like, they held Wade Taylor, I think, to 2 points.
Yep.
And that was part of it. But then also in the second half, that's kind of what allowed A&M to get back in the game, because it was so physical and Ole Miss doesn't have a big-time interior presence. Like, A&M just started playing Houston basketball. It's like, throw it up. Essentially, your first shot's just a pass. Get it up on the rim so you can get some offensive rebounds.
Speaking of coming back to win, mm-hmm. that's what Arkansas did.
Indeed.
John Calipari gets a conference win.
Uh-huh. They're down 15.
As they're down 15.
Win and a cover.
Come back to beat Georgia. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, today on the show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Then we got Righter Than Right trivia, where someone can win them before you buy them, 2 tickets to see Cake at Bank Plus Amphitheater. I forget when.
April 18th.
April.
It's on your sheet.
18th. Oh, look at that. It's on my sheet. Going to take a break. There's more developments in the NFL and across this great nation of ours. We'll talk about that when we return. But the Santa surplus sale is going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can save 30 to 70% on designer engagement rings, anniversary rings, and wedding bands. Up to 50% off diamond stud earrings. I just went in there and bought Claire diamond earrings for Christmas. 40% off stunning gold chains and bracelets. Here's the point. Christmas is over, so they're like, all right, we're going to do some clearance savings here to start the year. So if you, this year, know you're going to be buying someone some stunning jewelry, whether it's for Valentine's Day or an anniversary or whether you're getting engaged or whatever it is, no better time than right now. They got flexible financing, interest-free financing, or take up to 60 months to pay. Locally owned and trusted since 1977. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations are online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
While I'm telling people good news, I got a text from Mehdi Sadeghi, who's my dentist. And he reminds you that if you need dental care, they have a dental clinic going on at Bellevue Church tomorrow and Saturday. Cleanings, fillings, and extractions. That's free dental care at Bellevue Baptist tomorrow and Saturday. Cleanings, fillings, and extractions. First come, first serve. He said starts from 6:30 to around 4:30. You think he start at 6:30 in the morning? That'll wake you up. You know,
is I that guess what, I, it makes
extraction?
Sense.
Extraction.
Well, you know, to get there for people that have to go to work early, I'm
I guess
sure.
So, you know. Anyway, so there you go. It's the Mid-South Mission of Mercy. You can Google it if you need the details. But it's first come, first serve, free dental care tomorrow. So we're spreading the good news today, Jeffrey. Let's play Believe It or Not. The Jets got the right guy as their head coach. Aaron Glenn, of course, has been hired by the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I believe that. I mean, in the end,
How
I think...
would one know?
To me, it's like, I don't judge whether or not, like, oh, this is a home run or whatnot. The thought process, to me, makes sense. In the end...
What's the thought process?
The thought process is, A, played there. So he at least has some familiarity with the organization.
First-round draft pick, played 8 years,
correct.
I think, for the Jets, yeah.
So
yeah.
He
knows the territory.
Correct. And he knows what
you think that matters?
Yeah, because I think he knows...
Particularly in New York.
I think he knows what he's getting into, one way or the other.
It wouldn't matter if you'd played at Indianapolis and you became the head coach
I think for the Jets. I think
for the Jets.
It's not even the Giants, particularly.
Okay.
I think it's the Jets.
Yeah, okay.
So you know the groundwork. And then I also think that there's something to be said for being... at an organization that had no success and being a significant part of a out-of-the-dumpster fire.
Seen how
rise.
That works. Dumpster
correct.
Fire to triumph.
Yes. And then further, in the end, like if you look at who was available, they got the most desired candidate.
What? Who was available? Not from the whole field.
Right. So,
once Ben Johnson's gone.
But, like, to me, I always make note of, like, okay, there's still other open jobs. You got the next, like, you're in the pecking order. You probably got the third pick, but you got...
It's funny how it works. The most desired candidate, you know who were the, like, who have been the two of the biggest Grizzlies flops, right?
Ivoroni and then Fizdale.
And they both were hot, desired candidates.
Yes.
Like, Ivoroni was slam dunk the most. He was a Suns assistant when the Suns were totally hot. And Fizdale, both from great cultures, right? Great success, hot candidates.
Fizdale would tell you.
And you know who literally the arguments for the best... Taylor Jenkins was also, by the way. If you look at the Grizzlies' best coaches, Lionel Hollins was like, what? What are you doing?
He had been the interim twice.
Right, you only gave
what
him...
What a stat!
You gave him a contract for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it was widely ridiculed by me, according among others. So not honestly because it was Lionel, because it was so cheap. It looked like something you were doing just to be cheap. You didn't even give him a 3-year deal or anything. You know, like, why are you doing this just to be cheap? And this was at a time when Heisley just had a well-earned reputation for being cheap. And so he was incredibly successful. Hubie, people thought that was insane. He hadn't coached for years.
Some people thought we hired the Bartlett high school coach.
that is true. So, I mean, the people just couldn't believe that. Hubie was a prickly jerk, is how he is perceived. You know, however many years it was, 12 years ago when he last coached a game. You're bringing him off out of the mothballs? It's sort of like Kyer and Pete Carroll, except much more time had elapsed, and Hubie had never won a Super Bowl.
Correct.
Or the equivalent.
Yes.
And he wasn't perceived as being easy to get along with. Like, and he was tremendous. And, of course, much beloved everywhere now, but absolutely in Memphis. And so he was tremendous. Taylor Jenkins was not the lead assistant in Milwaukee.
He was the get-back coach.
It is interesting. We look around, and they're hiring the hot coach. I do think when you hire a coach who has been a head coach before, you can look at what they've done and judge it. And even then, it'll be different. Belichick was obviously much more successful in New England than he was in Cleveland, right?
Yes.
Whatever. But when you hire Mike McCarthy in Dallas, you're aware of what he's done before. He sort of has an idea of what that person is like a coach. When the person has never been a head coach, when all they've been is a coordinator, you really got no idea.
I mean, to me, think about in these terms. Dan Quinn last year.
Right.
Everyone's looking at the Commanders like, oh, they couldn't even get a deal done with Ben Johnson. Really? You couldn't get a deal done and you go cheap and you get Dan Quinn? It's kind of worked.
So what have been slam dunk hires that have worked? I'll tell you, slam dunk hires that have worked. Obviously, Nick Saban's top of the list.
Yeah.
Right? Nick Saban at Alabama, slam dunk hire. That has worked.
Yeah.
John Calipari, honestly, to Kentucky, whatever.
They won a national title.
Yeah, slam dunk hire that has worked.
Urban Meyer to Florida, Urban Meyer to Ohio State.
Urban Meyer to Florida was less. He was the hot.
Yeah, I mean, they were undefeated.
The right, yes.
And remember, that was the Notre Dame. Everyone thought, because he had the Notre Dame clause, everyone thought he was going to Notre Dame, and Florida made the deal like in November.
So they can work, but they can also just, you know,
Scott Frost to Nebraska.
Oh, my God. I mean, look at LSU right now.
Sure.
Like, how are they feeling about that? Look at Jimbo Fisher once upon a time.
Sure.
Right? Look, or twice, I guess. Jimbo.
I mean, he won a title at Florida State, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, at A&M, it certainly didn't.
Right. So, who the hell knows? I cannot definitively say he got
it's
the right guy.
It's why I judge the process.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because I heard this yesterday. May sound crazy, but the right answer for the Jets and Aaron Glenn at quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. There's been a lot of talk percolating.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think I believe it.
I think I believe it.
Because
I'll just say it this way. As a Bills fan, I want him to go somewhere else.
So John and I...
Or retire.
John and I off the air were talking about, because both of us are going to be in the quarterback market. So either
us, right?
Right. The Giants and the Raiders are going to be in the quarterback market.
Right.
And we were kind of game theoring it out. And John was just like, I just want to trade for Sam Darnold. Because, and I told him, I go, are we sure Sam Darnold's just not a Kevin O'Connell creation? Which it's probably a little column A, a little column B. But when you actually take a look at what is out there.
Oh, it's pathetic.
And the Jets don't have the mechanisms. So, Cousins, potentially Derek Carr.
Now, you'd have to trade for Cousins? Or are we presuming he's going to get...
So, they're probably not cutting him, but everyone that I've read that's smart has said, listen, the Falcons saying Cousins is going to be back as their backup, like, right. That's just posturing. So
Cousins,
Derek Carr, potentially Darnold.
Darnold, Aaron Rodgers. It's just grim.
Jameis.
I think Aaron Rodgers makes, again, and the only reason you could bring him back is because there's a new head coach.
Yep.
he has been, I don't know that he's been humbled, but you have leverage over him now, right? You it didn't work.
If
he wants to play, it is the really probably the best place for him. Look, like
Russ,
he's got receivers. He's got at least there's tools on defense. I don't hate it. I hate to say it. It seems crazy. But the second half of the season, he was pretty good.
It's why I did not believe when people kept saying Darnold's last two games, he's cost himself so much money. I'm like, you are not looking at the market. Yes, he did not play well in those two games. I'm not defending that. But at the same time, it's like, what is the market? And people have to have a quarterback.
The team that has made the biggest hash of this entire coaching mess is the Dallas Cowboys.
So I'm going to say I don't believe that.
You're going Jags.
The Jags exist.
You're going Jags.
Because in the end, the number one thing that people kept pointing to that was clearly a albatross was Trent Baalke. And you basically said, well, we're going to have him run the operation.
You fire your head coach. You say you're keeping Trent Baalke. You then can't hire a head coach. Liam Cohen decides to go back to the Buccaneers. He's the offensive coordinator there. You would think he would want a head coaching job. You would think he would want to work with Trevor
it's
Lawrence.
It's not a bad roster.
It's not a bad roster.
It's a good division to
In
go
fact,
to.
I saw a bunch of GMs and executives surveyed on what was the very best job out there, and they said Jacksonville. Apart from ownership and whatever, and yet
I actually think though Khan is,
and yet they couldn't wait. Hold on. So they couldn't hire a head coach. So then what do they do? Now they fire Trent Baalke. That's a total disaster.
Correct. Like in the end, the Cowboys are doing what the Cowboys want to do, which is Jerry just doesn't believe coaching's that significant of a factor, and he goes cheap.
Yes, but okay. If in the end. And this would be my pushback on the argument, yes, the biggest hash being is if in the end they end up with Brian Schottenheimer, isn't that worse than anything else?
Yeah, but I guess the way that I would say it is in the end they weren't fighting on the same playing field. Like they basically announced we don't believe in coaching, therefore we're not going to pay.
That's part of making a hash of it, though. That is making a hash of it.
I guess my point is
if you end up with Brian Schottenheimer. Okay, here you go. I'm going to send... It doesn't really matter. Pick whoever you want to go to the Jags. Who do we now think is going to go to the Jags?
Sounds like Saleh.
Okay. So if Saleh goes to the Jags,
all right.
Schottenheimer goes to
the Cowboys.
Goes to the Cowboys. We still need someone for the Saints, and we need someone for the Raiders.
So it sounds like McCarthy to the Saints, and the buzz yesterday was Pete Carroll to the Raiders. Okay. Now, I don't know if that's agent talk.
Let's just assume that. All right. That's fine. We'll assume that.
All right.
Who was the worst coaching hire of the offseason?
Probably Brian Schottenheimer, yeah. But I guess my point is...
No, I'm not reacting to that. I'm asking
when you put your job
I'm just asking a separate question. Which is the worst hire?
Listen, you can go check tapes from like podcasts from 10 years ago. Brian Schottenheimer should thank his lucky stars that he's Marty Schottenheimer's son.
Always helps. So,
yes.
Okay, here's the next one. The Titans are going to take Travis Hunter. I'll tell you why I say this. Mike Bergonzi.
Yep.
Bergonzi.
Bergonzi. I listened to the introductory press conference.
He's
Bergonzi.
The new GM. He said, we won't pass on a generational talent. That's what he said. He said, we won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the draft. Now, let me ask you this, Jeffrey. Is there any quarterback in this draft that you would describe as a generational talent?
No.
Is there, in fact, someone in the...
I also hate the term, but yes, continue.
Is there someone in the draft?
We've had, in the last 15 years, I think we've had 20 generational talents at quarterback.
Yes, exactly right. So, what this means is they're going to take Travis Hunter with the number one pick in the draft.
I'm going to say I don't believe it.
Okay, why?
Because...
Posturing?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, I mean, I think
what's he trying to accomplish, though? Like, is someone going to trade up to get Travis Hunter?
I guess you could create a market. Basically, you're announcing we're not in the quarterback market. So if you're someone that is – there's several teams in the first – I mean, we just discussed, like, the Giants are going to need a quarterback. The Raiders are going to need a quarterback. like you have teams like in that top six or seven that are going to need quarterbacks. I guess you're announcing we're open for business. But I also think it could be possibly a situation where...
Do you think, by the way, I know you hate the term.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Travis Hunter is a generational talent?
Probably.
What's interesting, he's very clearly a generational talent as a college football player.
Yeah.
Right? We know that because we've never seen anyone else in generation do it, right? So he was a generational talent as a college football player. Is he a generational talent as an NFL player? I think is a little bit of a separate question because he is on the smaller side. There's still debate as to whether he's better on as a defensive back or as a receiver. I think you'll probably see him being used as a defensive back with plays as a receiver.
Probably, that's my guess. Although at the same time, like, I don't know, like Amon-Ra St. Brown's 6 feet and he's a true number one.
Let me ask you this. If every receiver who played in college football this year was available to you in the NFL draft, which one would you take?
Jeremiah Smith.
Right. So how can he be a generational talent as a wide receiver when literally we have Jeremiah Smith, who's better than he is, we believe, as a wide receiver?
I guess, though, my argument would be I don't think Jeremiah can go and cover.
No, he can't, but...
He can do something that...
Like, what's the real... With all due respect, and again, I think he's unbelievably great.
Right.
But if he's not a top five cornerback and he's not a top five receiver, well, how good is that? Like, that's great. It's nice to have someone who can do both. It's a great...
Well, there's a legitimate question.
It's greater than a gimmick. But is he going to be a top five cornerback or receiver in the league?
Well, I think there's also a question of... We can even do it in the positive. Let's say he is a top five corner. Is a top five corner the number one pick?
I think in this draft, a top five corner could be, and a top five receiver could be. Top five receiver in the league could be a number, although typically they're not.
Would you rather have, I guess this is like the other.
You'd rather have a top five pass rusher.
I'm kind of hurting my own case. Would you rather have Abdul Carter or would you rather have Travis Hunter?
I think that's if I knew that Abdul Carter was going to be a top, if I believe
right.
that he was going to be a top five edge rusher in the league, I'd rather have that than a top five receiver or a top five cornerback. So, yes, I think you might rather have Abdul Carter. You might rather trade down and come out with Abdul Carter and have the best player in the draft.
And that might also be why they're saying this.
Lamar Jackson's going to win Super Bowls.
I do not believe that. I can see Super Bowl.
Super Bowl is going to win a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson is going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll say I believe that. Like
Josh Allen is going to win a Super Bowl.
I believe that.
What's interesting to me, I was thinking about how, like, no one thinks of those guys. No one thinks of Josh Allen as a loser. I do think that you're starting to think of Lamar Jackson as a, not really, like, everyone acknowledges he's a great player, but as a can't get it done, kind of, whatever that means. Whatever that means, that's what the knock is. I was reading a piece the other day about coaches, players who have had the knock
mm-hmm.
can't get it done.
Yep.
And it actually is, there's a bunch who have. Now, just because you knock on the door, doesn't mean you ultimately will knock it down. The Utah Jazz knocked on the door, never knocked it down. The Suns knocked on the door, never let it. Marv Levy, for God's sakes, yep. knocked on the door, never. Like, just because you knock on the door. But there are a bunch who have and who have then been. All-timers, really, in the end?
Andy Reid's the number one example.
Andy Reid is the number one example. Andy Reid, just to review, lost three straight NFC Championship games from 2004. Three straight with the Eagles first. He lost three straight NFC Championship games. Then lost the 2004-2005 Super Bowl to the Patriots. Then lost another NFC Championship game. Then he went to Kansas City. And he lost an AFC championship game. The dude lost five conference championship games and a Super Bowl before he broke through.
And what changed?
I believe he got, I think it's the Nuggies.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the Nuggies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that
who else was eating those Nuggies? Who was sitting across from him was eating those Nuggies?
Here's another one. John Madden.
Yep.
John Madden. He coached in five AFC championship games in his first seven seasons, And one of the two, when he did not make it to the AFC Championship game, was the immaculate reception game that he lost to the Steelers in
a fluke. Literally an act of God.
In the division round.
A truly act of God.
So he lost five. He gets the championship game five times and loses. One of the other years that he doesn't do that, he loses in the immaculate reception to Pittsburgh. And then he finally, after all of that, gets to the Super Bowl and wins. John Elway? John Elway was a loser. Like, mm-hmm. He would get to the Super Bowl and get annihilated. Three Super Bowls, they were annihilated. John Elway can't win the big one until they won the big one. He got the one. Yeah, I actually got two. He ended up getting two in the end. What was Peyton's story here? Was Peyton, it wasn't that kind of struggle, was it? But I guess the lesson is, you look at where Josh is or where Lamar is or whatever, and no, it doesn't mean you're going to break down the door because Patrick Mahomes is your same damn age, for God's sakes, or younger. But there's a lot of examples of people who
have. Well, also, so fun fact, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady met in the playoffs five times.
Who won how many?
Peyton won three.
Really?
You'll never guess this.
What was the order of them?
So Brady wins the first two. Peyton won the last three. You'll never guess this, though. Peyton and Brady each won the home games. That's the problem with the parallel for, because like I think we also forget the Patriots win 3 in 4 years and it felt so inevitable.
Right.
They win a decade without winning another. So like when you're in the midst of it and it feels inevitable, there's always the reminder, there's a reason why no one's three-peated. And eventually, I just kind of think, like, you play it out. Like, Tom Brady's not undefeated in Super Bowls. We still consider him the greatest to ever do
it. He lost to the Giants.
They lost to the Giants twice, and he lost to Nick Foles.
To the Giants twice and to Nick Foles. That's true.
Like,
it's not inevitable.
Yes. Ben Roethlisberger got two titles in the Brady era.
Well, a hopeful way to end this segment. We got Chris Harrington next. He was at the Grizzlies game last night. We'll talk to him about those goings on. Jimmy Butler suspended again. Seems like a prince of a teammate. And
who could have ever foreseen this?
who could have ever guessed? And then we got Right in the Right Trivia. It's Thursday, so big day on the Jeff Calkins Show. If you're selling your house, call Josh Issa. Simple as that. And his team at Keller Williams Realty. Here's the number. Ready? 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Or Josh has the buyers.com. It's not easy to sell your house. I was talking to someone yesterday, and the rates aren't exactly plummeting either. So you got some tricky stuff to balance. You might have to be selling a house to buy a house. Not most of us can't mortgage. Can't deal with two mortgages simultaneously. So James, guy named James, is in this sort of dance. How do I do this? How do I manage it? Well, he lists his house with Josh. Within 3 days, he has an offer on the house that he accepts, and he's able to do exactly what he wanted to do, which is upgrade his house. Josh Issa is fabulous at marketing your home, even in tricky markets. Again, 901-461-8147. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. It's Josh Issa and his team at Keller Williams Realty. When we come back, Chris Harrington joins the show, then Right in the Right Trivia. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.